rest of us, if you would turn with me to Proverbs chapter 29 today, will be our text. I want to talk to you today on the topic of a godly father. While you're turning there, I want to say I appreciate all of the fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers that are in the house, of which I fit the whole bill. It's amazing how the years go by quickly. And as a token of our appreciation for the fathers, at the end of the service today, I'm going to be having y'all come up, and there are some home-baked cookies up here in individual bags for you guys. I saw somewhere over the years where it said that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So that's what we're after here. Want to capture your hearts for Christ. Is that all right? And then also at the end of the service, we're going to be having Laura Reddy and Amariah come forward. They're going to be leaving this week on their mission trip to Hungary. So the leadership's going to pray over them and commission them for this trip, that God will use them mightily. You have anything to add to that, Laura?
Just to say thank you so much for so many of you who have individually donated to our mission trip. So we appreciate it.
Yes. Amen. Amen. All right. So that's what's coming up. Are you with me in Proverbs 29 now? Are you ready? We're going to read all 27 verses. A man who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. When the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. A man who loves wisdom brings joy to his father, but a companion of prostitutes squanders his wealth. By justice, a king gives a country stability, but one who is greedy for bribes tears it down. Whoever flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his feet. An evil man is snared by his own sin, but a righteous one can sing and be glad. The righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. Mockers stir up a city, but wise men turn away anger. If a wise man goes to court with a fool, the fool rages and scoffs, and there is no peace. Bloodthirsty men hate a man of integrity and seek to kill the upright. A fool given full vent to his anger gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. If a ruler listens to lies, all his officials become wicked. The poor man and the oppressor have this in common. The Lord gives sight to the eyes of both. If a king judges the poor with fairness, his throne will always be secure. The rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. When the wicked thrive, so does sin, but the righteous will see their downfall. Discipline your son, and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. A servant cannot be corrected by mere words. Though he understands, he will not respond. There is more hope for a fool than for him. If a man pampers his servant from youth, he will bring grief in the end. An angry man stirs up dissension, and a hot-tempered one commits many sins. A man's pride brings him low, but a man of lowly spirit gains honor. The accomplice of a thief is his own enemy. He is put under oath and dare not testify. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Many seek an audience with a ruler, but it is from the Lord that man gets justice. The righteous detest the dishonest. and the wicked detest the upright. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word and the wisdom that is in your word and the wisdom that is especially in the book of wisdom, Proverbs. So, Lord, we take to heart these words we have read. Pray, Lord, that as I bring the message you put on my heart today, that you just hide me behind the cross of Calvary, and that, Lord, you will step forth and reveal yourself in it. Lord, I pray that you put a watch on my mouth that I only speak the words that you ordained for this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. So you can see strewn throughout this chapter that we read the whole thing, strewn throughout there, there's a lot of talk about men and godly men and ungodly men and fathers and children. So hopefully you can see why I selected this passage for today. Let's start by looking, though, at John 14, verse 6. And let's look at the three distinct things that Jesus declares about himself. Our God is our Father God. Amen? Amen. And so we look to his attributes for a pattern for our own lives. In John 14, 6 says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So, as the way, he is our path to the Father. Jesus restored the avenue, the path for all humanity to come to to return to the Father. Because there's a huge abyss separating us because of the sin in our lives. And there was no remedy for that until Jesus Christ became the sacrificial lamb. So as the way, he restored our path to the Father, to return to the Father. As the truth, he is the reality and the fulfillment of all God's promises. He's the absolute truth. What everything that Jesus said, and that if you have a red letter version of the Bible, they're in red. Those words are in red. You know that those words are not only absolute truth, but every word within the Bible is absolute truth. And as the life, Jesus joins his divine life to ours, both now and eternally, when we receive him as personal Lord and Savior, which means we repent of our sin, we turn to him, and we surrender our lives to him and begin to live the life that he has planned for us. So, that's what we see Christ has restored for us. Secondly, a godly father disciplines his children. The children in the house always kind of slump in their chairs when we preach this stuff. I get it, I was a kid once. And even though I'm getting old, I still remember what it was like to be a kid. I still remember discipline, okay? It has a lasting effect. I can tell you my dad wore a size 11 shoe. I had imprints of it on my hind side. I wear a 13. I was looking for some help from down here in the GCS. Every once in a while, I need a little help preaching from the family. Proverbs 29, verse 15 says, the rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. Man, oh man, oh man, over the years have I seen this truth manifest in families. Where there is no discipline of the children. And I'm talking about loving discipline. I'm not talking about just beating on your kids. That is wrong. But loving discipline. Because I love you, I'm going to spank you. That kind of discipline. But please don't tell them this is hurting you more than it's hurting them, because they're not going to believe you. All right? I'm just putting that out there, guys. They ain't going to buy it. But the rod of correction imparts wisdom. Here is something that I have learned that I'm going to impart to you this morning. Over the years, I have learned that a child that is never disciplined and they're allowed to do everything they want to, and ultimately what they do is they take over the house when that's the situation. Those children, there's a very, very small percentage of children that are raised in that way that ever come to Christ, because they never learned to submit through loving, correcting, discipline. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
So when we talk about lordship, they will, because they've been spoiled and have never had to surrender to anybody, they will not surrender to God. And the weight of that is on you parents. The weight of that falls on you parents. Now, that being said, there is forgiveness in Christ. Amen? So I'm not heaping a yoke on you that you can't carry when I tell you that. What I am doing is challenging everybody in this church and connected to this church, everyone that will listen to this message on the internet, on our website, I'm speaking to everyone. We have a responsibility before God to exercise loving discipline of our children, just like God practices loving discipline with us. Verse 17 of our text, Proverbs 29:17, says, "Discipline your son, and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul." Doesn't say being their friend. Most of our kids have enough friends. They need a father as well as a mother. I'm focusing on fathers, though, guys, because it's Father's Day. Thirdly, fathers, we need to get a revelation. We need to get a revelation. Proverbs 29, verse 16 says, "When the wicked thrive, so does sin, but the righteous will see their downfall." We have seen the wicked thrive in this nation, and that's part of the reason we're in the situation we're in. Churches are shrinking, except the ones that are country clubs. The country clubs seem to always have plenty of people. But the true church is shrinking in this country. You can see it. Because people don't want right now the true gospel. We need to be praying that God intervenes and changes hearts and people. So when the wicked thrive, so does sin. We see it from the top to the bottom of our nation. When the wicked are in power, our nation goes backwards. We have seen it. Right? And by the way, I'm preaching the word. I'm not getting political. All right? Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law." When the pastors and the leadership of a church begin to operate by man's standards and leading the church without true God-given revelation, the people cast off restraint. Because people decided they didn't want hard preaching anymore and started leaving the churches where it was getting it. Pastors didn't want to lose people because the weight of that falls on them. Well, if you wouldn't preach so hard, we'd have people staying instead of leaving. Can I tell you something? If preaching the gospel offends people and they leave this church, then good riddance. As long as it's the gospel that's offensive. Right? You hear what I'm saying? Because then there will be open seats for people that are really after God. Men need to be the men that God called us to be. Need to be men that get revelation from God. And you don't get revelation from God without spending time with them, guys and gals. Again, I'm focusing on the guys today. As the leaders of our home, and yes, the Word of God calls us the leader of the home. So, men, stand up and be counted. Get a revelation from God. Get a revelation for your family. Get a revelation for who you are in the body of Christ, and get involved in the body of Christ, the church. Get involved in your family. Be involved in your children's lives. Hopefully not only for discipline, but involvement in our children's lives. As we get a revelation as a leader in our homes, we then have a responsibility to cast that revelation that we've gotten for our families. We have that responsibility. God has given us that responsibility. Proverbs 29, verse 18, in the King James Version, says it slightly differently. It says, where there is no vision, uses the word vision instead of revelation. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, it says, happy is he. Happy is the person, happy is the man that keeps God's law, or at least does their best to do it. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us, amen? But we have a responsibility to make an effort to live according to God's principles, and he has laid out those principles in the Ten Commandments. Not that that will ever save us. Please understand, I'm not saying that. But we have a responsibility to do the best we can to model, to be a role model worthy of being followed as we lead our families. It's quiet in here. Somebody picking up what I'm putting down today? Somebody told me earlier today that they thought maybe they were picking up the pounds I was losing. I said, don't pick up what I'm putting down. But in this case, pick up what I'm putting down. Vision is actually spiritual understanding. It's spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding comes through wisdom by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If we would just learn to walk with Christ and give the Holy Spirit reign in our lives. He is our counselor. He is our guide. He is our teacher. The Holy Spirit has many, many roles that He's supposed to be playing in our lives. And guys, way too often, we depend on self and past experience for the decisions we make instead of praying and waiting for an answer from God. The Word of God says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. So, guys, I exhort you, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Get a revelation, get a vision, and cast that vision within your family. And hopefully that vision will include the vision that that God would give you for your role in the body of Christ as a whole as well, in the church. Proverbs 29, verse 19 says, a servant cannot be corrected by mere words. Though he understands, he will not respond. If a man pampers his servant from youth, he will bring grief in the end. This is just a confirmation of what I just told you that I've learned over the years about children that go through life and are never disciplined. They have never learned to submit to their father on the earth, so they refuse to submit to their father in heaven. They may respond to an altar call or something, but when it comes down to it, they will not surrender lordship. And without lordship, salvation is not there. Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what I say. Think about that. Proverbs 29, verse 20 says, do you see a man who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for him. An angry man stirs up dissension, and a hot-tempered one commits many sins. You know, I've shared this before, but when our kids were little and they were naughty, I would send them into the bathroom, tell them to shut the door, and I would go sit in my recliner and get myself together. They thought I was some kind of sadomasochist, because sometimes they'd be in there for 20 minutes pondering what was going to happen when I came in there. And every once in a while I'd hear, I knew they were thinking it over. And then a little while later, they'd hear my chair creak when I got up out of it, and then they'd hear these number 13s coming through the dining room headed for the bathroom. And then we would delve out appropriate punishment when I got in there. But that was after I had cooled down. I didn't want to kill my kids. So I get myself together and delve out the appropriate discipline. If you ask them, they'd say it wasn't appropriate. None would be better. And you know what? I can stand here today and say, because we did discipline our kids and they knew it wasn't just talk when I told them to knock it off or this was going to happen. It wasn't lip service. Because of that, I seldom spanked our kids. I don't want you guys to think we were always beating our kids. Because of the fact that they knew what was going to happen, seldom. Really. Am I telling the truth? Didn't really spank you guys that often. You needed it more than you got it, I think, maybe. Let's be real. This is church. Let's be honest. Yeah, my wife took care of it too, guys. She didn't just say, wait till your dad gets home. Well, once in a while she did. She took care of it. So I want to share an example with you that I have shared quite a few years ago. But it's worthy of being shared again because I have never been able to find a better example of how important the father's role is in the home. And this example comes from the African elephants. Years ago, there was an area in Kenya, Africa, that they were overrun with elephants. They were flourishing. So the powers that be decided that they would take, round up a group of these young bull elephants and dart them and load them on trailers and haul them to less populated areas of Kenya. Okay? So they did. And they were proud of themselves. But then, after those elephants had been unloaded there, and they went into that area, they mysteriously started finding rhinos laying dead all over, and other animals. When they investigated, these young bulls that they had transferred over there, these young bulls, they were out of control, and they were killing everything. They were just killing at will, just to be mean. Well, an old boy over there talked to the younger guys that had decided it was a good idea to take only the young bulls, and he explained to them that in elephant culture, the old bulls kept the young bulls in check. And so he recommended that they round up a couple of old bulls and package them up and haul them over in that area and put them in the same area. Within 1 month, there were no more mysterious deaths of other animals. Because the old bulls came in and put the hammer down on the young bulls and straightened them out. What am I saying? Where are the old bulls? I'm one of them. Where are the old bulls? Where are the old bulls that are going to rein in the young bulls so that they're not out acting like fools? Huh? That'll preach. And then, I also found something else about a father who will not affirm. See, we need as fathers to also not only discipline our children, but affirm them and help them and steer them, study them, find what their bent is, what God has made them to be, who God has made them to be, and steer them and encourage them and help them in that process. This particular example, and it's supposed to be a true example, it was actually written by an author by the name of Garrison Keillor. Garrison Keillor. And it's entitled A Father Who Would Not Affirm. Check this out. The town ball club was the Lake Wobegon Schroeders, so named because the starting nine were all brothers, sons of E.J. Schroeder. E.J. would get ticked off if a boy hit a bad pitch. He would spit and curse and rail at him. And if his son hit a home run, E.J. would say, "Blind man could have hit that one. Your grandma could have put the wood on that one. If a guy couldn't hit that one out, there'd be something wrong with him, I'd say. Wind practically took that one out of there, didn't even have to hit it much, and lean over and spit. So his sons could never please him. And if they did, he just blew it off. Once in a game against Freeport, his oldest boy, Edwin Jim Jr., turned and ran to the center field fence for a very long fly ball. He threw his glove 40 feet in the air to snag the ball and caught the ball and glove. When he turned toward the dugout to see if his dad had seen it, EJ was on his feet clapping. But when he saw the boy look at him, he immediately pretended he was swatting mosquitoes. The batter was called out, the third out. Jim ran back to the bench and stood by his dad. EJ sat chewing in silence and finally said, "I saw a man in Superior, Washington do that a long time ago, but he did it at night and the ball was hit a lot harder." Fathers, we want to affirm. I see a disease in the fathers of our culture. It's not everybody by any means, but there's a disease in the fathers of our culture that makes fathers not want their sons to do better than them. That makes them feel threatened. My friends, I have always wanted my children to do better than I have. I want my grandchildren to have more and be better than I have. And I want my great-grandchildren to have better than I have had. It does not make me feel threatened when they do better than me. It makes me proud. Guys, I want to share with you very quickly some percentages that tells us plainly how important a saved, godly father is in the home. What I'm talking about is the percentage of chance of the rest of the family getting saved if these are saved first. If one of the children gets saved first, there's a 13% chance that the rest of the family will get saved as well. 13%. If the mother gets saved first, there is a 61% chance that the rest of the family will get saved. 61%. If the father gets saved first, there is a 93% chance that the rest of the family will get saved as well. Men, it's time we stand up. It's time we stand up and be counted. I look at what is happening in our culture. There are more and more women that are filling positions in every level of government in this nation. And that's happening because men are not standing up. Now let's talk about the church. More and more every year, women are the leaders, including pastors, in the churches. Now, I'm not saying this to put down women, but God is the one that established the correct order. And I do not see the Word of God allowing for women elders. And that includes the head elder of a church being a woman, a pastor. I don't see it. It's not there. Men are supposed to rise up and fill those positions. Godly men. We need godly men that will stand up. What I do see in the Word of God, women, is deaconesses. I see that in the Word of God. And women have a wonderful role as deaconesses. Okay? And it's wonderful because women are really good in that role because they have different giftings than men. So we need deacons and deaconesses, okay, operating in that role. But I do not see in the Word of God it allowing for women elders. And right here in this church, or right here in this city, right here in Fulton, Illinois, the majority of the elders in the churches are women now, in the churches in this little town. And it's widespread all over the country. Now, I want to give a little praise for the men in this church because we still have men filling the positions that men need to be filling. I thank you guys. I thank you for filling those positions. Message. I didn't want to preach too long because we got a lot going on here at the end of the service, and I'm right on schedule. Let's be godly men. Let's be godly fathers, guys. Well, Father, I just thank you for everyone here. And we pray for those that aren't here today because of other commitments with Father's Day. Lord, bring them back safely. And Lord, the word we've heard from your word today, may it take root in our hearts. May we as fathers be responsible to you, Lord God, and just move deeper in you from this day forward and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.